This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hi, Jess. Welcome to the show. Before we chat about the work you're currently doing, it's nice for listeners to understand a little bit about what guests have done before. So tell us a bit about your background.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Ivana, for having me on the show. Delighted. So I've got a background in corporate. So I've been working in the hospitality industry, specifically with working with hotels and hotel travel technology for 25 plus years. So, you know, working sales, business development and working on larger kind of strategic accounts. That's kind of where I've come from.
Okay, so obviously you're doing a lot of different things at the moment, but tell us a bit about how yoga's impacted your life, because obviously I gather it's something that you came to in the last sort of 10-15 years.
Yeah, I mean, my yoga journey really started even before that. So when I was first pregnant with my oldest daughter, who's turning 21 next week, that's when I first, you know, discovered yoga. And I suppose it's been coming and going over the years. And back in 2016, you know, I was going through, you know, challenging time. It was, you know, working a stressful job, lots of traveling, lots of pressures, going through a separation. So that's when I felt it was time. I felt I needed to do something for myself. Having been a mum and an employee and everything, it was time to just do something for myself. So that's when I found and I trained to become a yoga teacher. Did a training over 10 months, not necessarily with the intention of teaching at the time. It was really more about deepening my own practice. And little did I know that that was only the beginning of something else. So I started slowly but surely teaching. I had opportunities come. There was a new studio that opened in Twickenham. And I just took on more and more opportunities to teach yoga outside. I mean, still alongside my corporate work in evenings and weekends, and thoroughly enjoyed that. I always had an interest in working with young people, you know, with having two teenagers myself, and obviously seeing how teenagers were struggling, you know, in this day and age of technology and so forth, mental health issues being more prevalent. So I researched an organization called Teen Yoga, who enable yoga teachers and teachers to work with young people and teach them yoga and mindfulness. So I ended up training with them as well, which was, you know, phenomenal. It was, you know, very insightful. So that drew me to doing more work, you know, in that space, working with schools and working with young people, you know, in person, in the studio, online, and also working, you know, with schools. So really where we can go into schools, you know, we can have a much larger impact. It's not just those that, you know, have the time or have parents, you know, who send their kids or have the money to invest in that. So one thing led to another. 6 months later, I just felt I needed to follow my calling. And I woke up one morning and decided today's the day I need to resign. So I had about half an hour to prepare for the conversation, my weekly call with my boss at the time. Just told him that I was needed elsewhere. I needed to work elsewhere and, you know, help change and support young people. So he then said, I understand you're resigning then. So, yeah, we found a way. 6 months later, that was back in 2019, I went full time yoga teaching.
That kind of leads me nicely into my next question, which is, what do you see specifically as the benefits for teens with yoga and mindfulness?
So obviously, you know, it's a very fast-paced world in this, you know, world of technology and social media and so forth. It's forever, you know, we're forever connected. I mean, we feel it as adults, the young people even more so. So that ability to be able to actually stop, to slow down and just to be. I think we're so used to, we're just doing and doing more, and whether it's studying and, you know, performing, whether it's sports or schools and exams and so forth. But actually, in order to be able to accomplish more, it's the necessity to actually slow down and to stop and to just be with you. You know, obviously for young people, depending on what age, there's a lot of, you know, comparison, how, you know, am I good enough? You know, there's peer pressure, you know, and all of that. So it's about really connecting with yourself as well, understanding your strength, understanding your interests, understanding what is right and wrong for you. So that emotional regulation I think so that's really where yoga is. So apart from obviously the physical benefits, which I think everyone knows, it's about being able to regulate your emotions and to make sense of your emotions. And you know, it's a phenomenal way to manage, to help mental health. It's to enable that relaxation and that just calming down of the mind. So you know, the goal of yoga is to calm, to still the busy mind.
Yeah. And do you think that people's attitude towards yoga has changed in the last few years, and it's not seen as this far out woolly kind of woo woo wah wah sort of thing anymore? People kind of really are embracing it and seeing the benefits of it. That's kind of what I've noticed in the last few years. I don't know, what do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. So there's definitely been, you know, there's more awareness, there's, you know, more with, you know, obviously sports people, you know, athletes doing yoga. So, you know, there may be a much broader representation of yoga. However, there is still, and, you know, I think now we're here in the UK, we're in about 30% of the schools. So it's growing and there's more understanding. However, it's always difficult when you haven't experienced it for yourself. So the art is about getting particularly the young people in to experience it rather than talking about it necessarily, because there's still an understanding. I mean, some of the conversations I've had with young people, you know, I get comments like yoga is something for old women and mums. So often that is the perception. So, you know, there's still, it continues to be, you know, we need to change the perception of yoga, and that it's not just about, you know, the physical aspect. It really is about, you know, the physical, mental, emotional, and actually, you know, spiritual connection.
I read a staggering statistic in the Daily Mail today, which was that 4.3 million people were referred for mental health treatment last year, and 1.3 million of those were under 18s. Which I think
it's
phenomenal.
It's crazy. It's and that is also, you know, the problem that we're seeing is that, you know, so many young people just can't get the help. And actually, yoga is a beautiful way to, you know, even work in a preventative way, you know, to be able to have those tools. So the work, the earlier young people can be exposed to yoga, even at kids, you know, there's a lot of kids yoga teaching as well. Obviously, the more they are building these tools so that when adversity hits later on in life, they're prepared, you know, whether it's breathing exercise or, you know, whatever it is, you know, yoga really has so many tools. It's the breathing, it's the mindfulness, it can be journaling, it's the relaxation, it's, you know, there's so many elements, and it's whatever works for you. So having those tools early so that you can then use them when you need to, whether it's before going into, you know, the room and writing your exams, and to enable you to sleep better, to be able to manage stress, school stress, you know, family stress, relationships, the better it is.
So obviously you offer a variety of different things, Jess, including a teen day retreat and yoga for school. So tell us about some of those things that you offer.
Yes. So on the yoga side, so, you know, it's really, I work one-to-one with both adults and teenagers. I go into schools. So, and it's really about seeing where the schools, where their needs are. You know, I can work online with schools, you know, working towards exams or preparing the students, you know, to be able to better manage the exam stress, for example, whether it's in the curriculum, whether it's, you know, part of their PSHE curriculum or even after school. So these are just some of the things. And then I offer community classes as well. So these are, you know, I typically teach online. And then there's the other part of my work, which is supporting other yoga teachers in helping them reach more people and growing their business. So that's something that has evolved recently over the last year and a half. So that's also what I do. So it's more on the business coaching, mentoring side.
Sometimes you just want to be able to deliver what your service is. You don't want to have to worry about promoting it and promoting yourself, because people aren't always as good at that as they could be, are they?
Exactly. Absolutely right. In fact, that's what a lot of my clients feel. They just want to do what they do. They love, you know, particularly on the yoga too, they love helping people. They love, you know, working with, you know, whatever their target audience is, whether it's working with young people. They just want to do the work and be with people and prepare the classes and so forth. And many of them don't, particularly those working with teenagers, don't come from a business background at all. So it's not what they enjoy. Often it scares them. It, you know, they spend a lot of time, they get very frustrated and fed up with it, and they certainly don't enjoy that time. So often that's when they come and they realize they need to do things slightly differently. And that's where I can help.
Sure. I know that you say that some of the things that are really important when marketing your yoga business, for example, you mentioned getting clear on your unique value. Do you mean like your USP or unique selling point in relation to that? What makes you different from other yoga teachers?
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, I use the word USP. I call it the unique serving proposition as opposed to, and it's really, that's where it starts. So it's really about, and particularly if coming, you know, there's a lot of competition, obviously, there's many, many yoga teachers. So it's really about finding, you know, where do you fit in? How do you, what is it that you bring to the table, combining everything that you've done in your life, not just what you're doing right now. And it's not about, oh, how can I offer what the people are looking for right now? It's actually the other way around. What is it that really, what I am really passionate about, you know, whether it's, you know, mental health or whether it's, you know, whether it's particular, I work with a client who works with their hormonal, for hormonal health. I've worked with a client who's a sleep specialist. So there's really starting with yourself. What is it that is unique about you, how you deliver it and how you help people? And when you get really clear on that, and then it's about finding more of those people as opposed to the other way around, trying to fit what you do into what other people are looking for. So, and that's usually, you know, that's the starting point, is to really understand what makes, and that's where, because yoga nowadays has just become a commodity, and that's where you can come out of that and step out of being a commodity, whereby you bring a variety of different things, including your personality, including, you know, any struggles that you've gone through yourself. Sometimes it's a journey as well that somebody has, where yoga has helped them, whether it's with grief or that you then bring to the table to what you are then offering your clients. So it's about really digging. And sometimes people know exactly what that is. And sometimes, you know, we need to do some work to actually uncover where that uniqueness comes in.
And I noticed you said that you can generate more qualified referrals. So it's almost like the people are there. It's how to turn the people that you have there already into paying clients, if you like. And what's one of the ways you can do that?
So, you know, that's always a frustration or a struggle that, you know, my clients come to me saying, well, I have a lot of people interested, but they don't turn into paying clients. So, you know, there are a couple of things about that. So, you know, maybe there's some lack of clarity as to, you know, how you present, how you're positioning the work that you're doing. Maybe it's about clarifying your offerings. Maybe that there's, you know, some lack of clarity there because, you know, as we know, a confused mind never buys. So if there's any kind of confusion to anything, that's going to be an issue. I think a lot of people struggle with marketing because they just feel that, and that's where it becomes uncomfortable, because they're feeling that they're pushing their services onto others. So that's that kind of salesy, sleazy, you know, I don't want to do, because nobody likes to be sold in that way. And selling really has a pretty bad reputation. I mean, I've been in sales all my life. I've never thought about myself as a salesperson, funny enough. And really, what I teach my clients is about marketing, really is about starting conversations. It's not about selling. It's certainly not about pushing your things, your services and your products and your offerings onto somebody who hasn't asked for it. So starting the conversation is about positioning what you do, having others speak about, you know, the great results and benefits that they've received from working with you, and then attracting them to you. So there are many, you know, there are different ways of doing that, but it's about pull marketing as opposed to push marketing.
Sure.
And how can you then, once you have drawn them into you and created some interest and, you know, advanced the conversations, how can you then lead the sales conversation in a way where you really prepare, you know, you prepare the prospect, you're asking, it's about asking questions. It's about, you know, finding a solution that exactly fits, you know, what that person is looking for. And if that's not the case, then that's not somebody, then that's not your client right now or ever. But how do we, and it's also about how do we make use of all the relationships that we already have? We all know, you know, hundreds of people, and most of the time we're not doing a very good job of letting people know what we do. So drawing upon all of those relationships that we have and educating people that are in our vicinity, whether it's our friends, our family, whether it's colleagues, former colleagues, clients, as to how we work, what we do, and how we create a transformation for our clients, that's when we can draw upon that and create referrals from that.
Sadly, Jess, we've reached the end of the interview. I could talk to you all day, but I just want to get in a testimonial before we close. So someone wrote a lovely testimonial on your website, and it says, I used to be reluctant to follow up with people for fear of coming across as pushy, which is just what you mentioned just now, Jess. I learned a new soft approach that feels authentic, and as a result, I grew my monthly circle from 3 to 9 students in 2 months. So we've reached the end of the interview. If listeners would like to find out more, how can they do that, Jess?
Yes, so the best way is to get in touch either by phone, 07552545221, or at jess@funkyyoga.co.uk. And that's funky, my last name, F-U-N-K-E, and then yoga. And also, if somebody's interested, I do offer a free 60-minute business Kickstarter session. So that's to really help the conversation, help bring more clarity and direction for your business. So absolutely free. And that is for either yoga teachers. I also work with other well-being professionals, service-based business owners.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jess. That was Jess Funky Maspis with some really great advice on how to build your business.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.